live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a starting receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Friday, or like I love to say, Friday, January 5th, 2018. I'm still in the mode of almost saying 2017. It is now 2018. I really hope you all are having a great start to the new year. We plan on rolling you all into the weekend with a crazy entertaining hour right here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. So much to get to, so little time, as we will try to cover multiple topics pertaining to mid-Michigan sports and beyond. Of course, we will have coverage and a lot of chatter centered on your number one men's college basketball team in the nation, that being the Michigan State men's basketball squad, who got a win over Maryland last night, doing it in convincing fashion, even though it was pretty close to start. But then Michigan State just took off in the last like 5.5 minutes in the first half, put it on cruise control, and Maryland left the Breslin with really their heads just spinning. And from all accounts, what I'm seeing reported since last night, Maryland had some travel problems as well. We'll get to that story, and we'll discuss the big win for Michigan State, still undefeated in the Big Ten Conference year at 3-0, sitting at 15-1 overall, winners of 14 straight games. Michigan State has not lost since the loss to Duke. So you get to hear from Tom Izzo. You get to hear from sophomore forward phenom Miles Bridges. We have a lot of coverage from last night's game. Also, some breaking news coming through this morning concerning a certain assistant coach for the Michigan State football team. I think you all know who I'm talking about, but now Michigan State and Mark D'Antonio will have to find another assistant to replace this pretty big name. We'll bring that news to you in a matter of seconds. Also, ESPN. What an interesting year it was for ESPN in 2017. So much went down. And what I want to do around the 1:30 mark to start segment B is roll in an NPR piece that was done by Morning Edition host Steve Inskeep, who got the chance to interview a man who knows all about the inner workings of ESPN. And we'll have an elaborate conversation concerning how media, especially, you know, sports media, is changing over time. And you can look at ESPN and evaluate the changes that have gone down at the worldwide leader in sports. And there's many conclusions that you can draw as it pertains to where sports media and, heck, where media is trending as the days and months and years now pass along. So you don't want to miss that conversation. Going to be kind of a cool feature. And on the back end of the show, we'll have an NFL wild card preview for you as the NFL playoffs begin tomorrow. I'm pretty excited about that, despite the fact that my Dallas Cowboys will not be competing on the gridiron. But hey, that's neither here nor there. We'll talk about the NFL wild card picture And we will, of course, have Reflection Friday for you, where we look at the week that has been here on Current Sports and Beyond and bring you some of our favorite moments and may even highlight a few stories that we have not gotten the chance to talk about here throughout the week. So as you see, our plate runneth over. So much to get to, so little time. If you would like to weigh in here live on the Current Sports airwaves, you know that there are multiple ways in which you can do so. Simply go to facebook.com/currentsports, where we have the live stream up and running. You can comment below that video. Also, you can join us via Twitter. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. And we begin with some breaking news concerning the coaching staff of Mark D'Antonio and the Michigan State football team. Harlan Barnett is leaving Michigan State to become Florida State's defensive coordinator. That's according to multiple reports. Barnett agreed to join Willie Taggart's staff with the Florida State Seminoles this morning. Both 247sports.com and Fox Sports reporter Bruce Feldman has reported this news. It is the second time in 3 years that Mark D'Antonio will lose a defensive coordinator, though Barnett's co-defensive coordinator, Mike Tressel, does remain on the staff. So many predicting that Tressel will probably get bumped up to become the sole defensive coordinator, you know, not the co-defensive coordinator, but the defensive coordinator for the team. But we'll see. Who knows? We're guessing right now. That means D'Antonio will be looking, though, for two assistants to add to his staff, assuming that Tressel receives that promotion to become the sole defensive coordinator. MSU can add a 10th position coach this year due to changes in the NCAA rules. What do you think about Harlan Barnett leaving Michigan State to head down to the Sunshine State and become a coordinator with Florida State? Give your thoughts. 517-355 WKAR 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Greg Fry is reportedly headed back to Tallahassee. The Michigan tackles and tight ends coach and run game coordinator has taken a job as offensive line coach at, you guessed it, Florida State. Can you believe that? Yeah, that report is coming from also Bruce Feldman of Sports Illustrated. Now, Fry was only at U of M for one season. He was hired away from Indiana to work with NFL prospect Mason Cole and develop the program's next crop of tackles. He worked alongside offensive coordinator Tim Drevno, who doubles as the offensive line coach. So there you have a coach at the University of Michigan, as well as a coach here at Michigan State University, both now heading to Florida State University. Miles Bridges had 15 points, 7 assists, 6 boards, 2 blocks to help numero uno Michigan State turn a closely contested game into another rout, pulling away to beat Maryland 91-61 on Thursday night. The Spartans, now 15-1, 3-0 in Big Ten play, went on a 15-0 run late in the first half to take control and led 44-32 at the half. They refused to be content with the 12-point lead, building 30-plus point cushions in the second half by diving for loose balls, playing tough defense, finishing with a season-high 16 three-pointers. In my opinion, it was the best overall performance that we have seen from Michigan State this season. Freshman Jaren Jackson Jr. had 15 points, 3 blocks, 2 steals, despite playing just 4 minutes in the first half because he had, yeah, you guessed it, early foul trouble, an early foul trouble of 2 fouls in that game. Nick Ward had 16 points, 2 blocks. Cassius Winston had 10 points, 8 assists before fouling out for the Spartans. Michigan State will now play at Ohio State on Sunday. Ohio State beat Iowa last night. The Michigan Supreme Court has declined to review a judge's decision to reinstate sexual assault charges against former Michigan State basketball star Mateen Cleaves. The state's high court on Wednesday joined three Michigan Court of Appeals judges who in August denied Cleaves' request. Earlier, Genesee County Judge Archie Heyman reinstated the case against Cleaves, who faces charges including unlawful imprisonment and second-degree criminal sexual conduct. The case is expected to return to county court for trial. All right, moving along to news out of the camp of Michigan men's basketball. The University of Michigan men's basketball team will host its second annual social media day on Saturday when the Wolverines play host to Illinois at Chrysler Center. The game is scheduled for a noon tip time and can be seen on the Big Ten Network. Throughout the day, Michigan Athletics and Michigan Basketball will team up on both social media accounts and ramp up coverage on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat with an increased number of photos, graphics, videos, and live broadcast. Yes, it is 2018, folks, and social media dominates. In addition to the social media presence, the first 2,500 fans will receive a customized Wolverine player emoji rally towel, while the first 500 Maze Rage members will get a Michigan basketball emoji t-shirt and emoji big head as supplies last. The Michigan Wolverines are coming off a win over Iowa on Tuesday. After a win over Northwestern earlier this week, the Michigan State women's basketball team will hit the road and will spend most of the month of January on the road for that matter. Michigan State will hit the road for three straight Big Ten road games. The Spartans will travel to Minnesota this Sunday at 4 p.m. You can watch that one on the Big Ten Network. Michigan State will then face Maryland on January 11th and Illinois on January 16th, both on the road. All right, the Michigan women's basketball team will return to the Chrysler Center on Sunday for a noon tip-off against number 10 Ohio State. Kim Barnes-Jericho and number 22 Michigan scored an 80-57 road win at Wisconsin on Thursday night, pushing Barnes-Jericho's win total to 124 and setting a new program record during her sixth year as head coach. Stephanie Mavunga scored 25 points. Kelsey Mitchell added 21 to help number 10 Ohio State rout the Gophers 91-75 on Thursday night in Big Ten women's basketball before an announced 4,519 at Value City Arena. The battle between the two ranked foes will be carried by ESPN2. Lions defensive coordinator Terrell Austin, who interviewed for the Detroit Lions head coaching job this week, will interview for Cincinnati's defensive coordinator position today. That's being reported by ESPN's own Josina Anderson. So it looks like Terrell Austin, if he's interviewing with the Bengals, looks like he's not going to become the head coach of the Lions, right? Now, Austin joined Jim Caldwell in Detroit back in 2014. He became a hothead coaching candidate after the Lions finished second in total defense and third in points allowed his first season there. He has interviewed with nine different teams for head coaching positions the past 3 years, but the Lions were the only team to interview him this offseason. You can catch the Wing Wheel in action tonight. The Detroit Red Wings will host the Florida Panthers at Little Caesars Arena. Things are suddenly going right a bit for the Wings. The same could have been said of the Florida Panthers, who were riding a five-game win streak until it came to a crashing halt via a 5-1 L at Minnesota to the Wild on Tuesday. Now, the Wings have won three games in a row for the first time since January 14th to the 18th. 2017 also have won four in a row at home for the first time since October 17th to the 25th. That was back in 2016. They also prevailed in overtime for the first time this season on Wednesday, beating the Ottawa Senators 2-1 in spectacular fashion. Puck drop, 7:30 p.m. tonight. You can catch it on Fox Sports Detroit. And last but not least, the Detroit Pistons, who lost on Wednesday in Miami to the Heat 111-104 without Andre Drummond, who is still dealing with this rib contusion. The Pistons will hit the road to play the Philadelphia 76ers, who enter on a three-game win streak and have won the season's first two meetings against the Pistons behind big performances from Joel Embiid. Embiid and Drummond have built a rivalry this season with friendly trash talk. Embiid is averaging 27.5 points 9.5 boards, and 6.5 turnovers in 60 minutes versus the D this year, while Drummond averages 14 points, 12 rebounds, and 3.5 assists in 73 minutes versus Philly. Both Drummond and Embiid are game-time decisions. Embiid dealing with a hand sprain. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you would like to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number. Probably got it on speed dial. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/currentsports and watch the live stream there. I'm looking rather dorky today, Ian Hawley, current sports engineer. I don't think you've ever seen me rock my glasses. Have you ever seen that before?
No, it's a new look. But, it's good on you. It's good
on
you.
Thank you, brother. I've been rocking glasses since kindergarten, and I'm like Stevie Wonder. I kid you not. I'm legally blind, and my contacts just weren't doing it for me today, really irritating me. But, yeah, you can catch out. You can catch my dorky glasses on the live stream right now. It's not a pleasant sight, but, hey, whatever floats your boat. You can comment below the video to be a part of our airwaves via facebook.com/currentsports. And, again, you can tweet us. Tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. The most complete game you guys have played all year?
Yeah, I would say that, especially against a team like this. We just tried to stay solid the whole game.
You know, it plays to our part because of this. I don't have selfish guys. You know, it's one day it might be him, one day it might be Gavin because he might have to guard a four. One day it might have to be Ben because he can do some things as far as pass the ball and that. Got a lot of different options. And, you watch our bench. I mean, you know, some of those guys been around and are still pulling for the guys that are out there. I can't tell you what that means to me, and I hope it's something that the fans, people appreciate, because in this world of Twitter, my commercial in this Twitter world where it's all about me, they just don't play that way, and it's time after time.
Yes, that is how we start this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. So honored that you've allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. We've got a sizzling hot show. Despite the weather in mid-Michigan, it's pretty cold outside, but we bring the heat right here live on WKAR's Current Sports. And we begin with the Michigan State men's basketball team, which picked up a 30-point win. Yes, a 30-point win over the Maryland Terrapins last night. It was a 91-61 final. And I tell you what, though, you look at how this game began, and I must say Maryland played very well at the very beginning of this game. But, you look at that last stretch in the first half, the final 5.5 minutes. Michigan State just turned it up a notch, and Maryland just couldn't respond. Because if you look at the first half stats, I mean, at halftime, the final score read, what, 44-32 as both teams headed to the locker room. And you look at the shooting for Maryland, it was great. You know, they were shooting 46.4% from the floor, 50% from deep. Kevin Huter, he was great, wasn't he? 5 of 9 from the floor. He was 3 of 6 from three-point range, had 14 points. He was really giving Michigan State all they could handle defensively. Then you have Bruno Fernando, who's a big body inside. I think that young pup is going to be a great player as the year unfolds. I think he has a bright basketball future. That's also something that Tom Izzo commented on during his post-game presser. You heard the voices of sophomore forward Miles Bridges as well as head coach Tom Izzo as they both talked to the media after that matchup. Miles, of course, in the locker room and Tom at the podium. And I really do believe this Maryland Terrapins team is going to be great. I could see Maryland maybe finishing like third or fourth in the Big Ten. I think they've got some talent there, and they are dealing with injuries as well. Anthony Cohen, you know, he's got great driving ability. He can also shoot the basketball. But at the end of the day, we're talking about Michigan State here, and I've gone on record to say that in the Big Ten, it's Michigan State and then everybody else. Michigan State showed last night why they are the number one men's college basketball team in the nation. It was a fantastic all-around effort, the best all-around performance of the year, and you see why many are picking this team to go all the way this year. Again, it's still early. It's still early. We're talking about 3 games into the Big Ten Conference season, 16 games total, but man, oh man. Tom Izzo, one of the happiest moments of the year so far for him. He was pleased with what he said, quote, 90% of the game last night. And you look at the numbers. I mean, you talk about production all around. You know, 15 points for Jaren Jackson Jr. And what's remarkable about Jaren's final stat line is that he was 5 of 6 from the floor in all 5 of his made field goals. Or from three-point land. 5 of 6 from the floor, 5 of 6 from deep. And you sit there and look at that stat line and you say to yourself, if Jaren Jackson Jr. does not get into early foul trouble, who knows how many Jaren Jackson could have put up last night. I mean, he is just a fantastic player, isn't he? He's one of those forwards that NBA scouts and NBA personnel, and a little birdie told me, that there were many NBA personnel in the house last night at the Breslin Center evaluating many players, many on Michigan State's roster, I'm sure, including Jaren Jackson Jr. But when you look at Jaren Jackson Jr., he is that ideal stretch forward that is so prominent at the next level in the NBA. You know, guys like, you know, Anthony Davis, you know, and DeMarcus Cousins and Kevin Durant, you know, LeBron James is a stretch forward. Tobias Harris for the Pistons to bring a local feel to it. I mean, every team is looking for that stretch forward, that big man who can torch you outside, mid-range, and inside. Very versatile, and that's the type of player that Jaren Jackson Jr. is. You know, he's got a crazy wingspan. I mean, with the wingspan of Jaren Jackson Jr., I mean, you could like hang a week's worth of laundry on his arms, dude, if he just spreaded him out like an eagle. I mean, my goodness, he is a physical phenomenon. Yeah, 5 of 6 for Jaren. All 5 made buckets from Pluto, from three-point range. 15 points for him. Cassius Winston, he had 10 points, 8 assists. He dropped dimes on him last night, folks. 4 of 8 from the floor. He was 2 of 6 from three-point land as well. Miles Bridges was also in double figures, as I mentioned. 15 points, 7 assists from Miles Bridges. I want to highlight that because that just goes to show, one, how unselfish Miles Bridges is. But if you look at some of those passes that Miles Bridges had that led to, you know, assists, they were great, great passes I mean, I underrated the court vision of Miles Bridges. He's becoming quite the passer, folks. He also had 6 rebounds. Then you had Nick Ward, who continues to trend upward. 6 of 8 from the floor for him. He had a total of 16 points, 5 rebounds, also had 2 blocks. And, oh, yo, by the way, going back to Jaren Jackson, he had 3 blocks, led the team. He usually does when it comes to the blocked shots column. And Nick Ward, what I love about Nick Ward, you're starting to see this eye of the tiger this season with him. He is really demanding the basketball and saying, give me the rock. I want to make something happen. Oh, no, I don't want to. I'm going to make something happen. He did that multiple times last night. He even showed off, you know, the turnaround jumper a few times last night. Very impressive game for him. But, you know, when Jaren Jackson Jr. got into that early foul trouble, you know, we saw other players step up. And that was the premise of my 2-minute drill report, post-game report from that game last night. And shout out to Ian Hawley, the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports. Ian now getting his feet wet when it comes to shooting sports. Did a great job of shooting our highlights, which you can view at facebook.com/currentsports. But, you know, when you look at those highlights and when you look at, you know, the premise of my report from the 2-minute drill, you know, I highlighted how Michigan State had 27 bench points. And when Jaren Jackson Jr. went out, we saw players like Kenny Goins step up. He was 3 for 5 from the floor, had 8 points, and hit 2 of 3 from 3-point range. Very impressive. He was an instant spark plug for the team. And speaking of spark plug, who Tom Izzo called the unsung hero of last night, was Matt McQuaid. Matt McQuaid was great defensively. He brought so much energy. He had 7 rebounds as well. Gritty. He led the team in rebounding. If somebody would have told me Matt McQuaid was going to lead the team in rebounding last night, I would have said, brother, are you feeling all right? Are you sick? That's crazy. 7 rebounds. Chipped in 6 points, also had 5 assists. Talk about an all-around game. And Lou Rawls, Tum-Tum Naren Jr., one of the leaders for this team, senior leader for this team, he even had a 3-pointer. You know it's going good when Tum-Tum drains it from deep. Best all-around game we've seen so far from your number one Michigan State men's basketball squad. Call in to share your thoughts, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. John, I see you, my friend. I'm going to get you in just a sec, but before I do that, I do want to roll in a few bites from our coverage last night. Here is Tom Izzo talking about the 2 most important stats for his team, because if you look at the end of the stat line, and again, this is a huge takeaway, folks, and it speaks to how unselfish this team is. It speaks to how nobody has an ego. Everybody just cares about winning at the end of the day. It speaks to the depth on this team. It speaks to the amount of talent on this team. But 30 assists on 32 made buckets. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Also, the team just had 7 turnovers. 7 turnovers. Miles Bridges mentioned after the game in the locker room, and he said that is a New Year's resolution for the team. They want to cut down on the turnovers, and man, oh man, did they do that last night. Just 7 turnovers, and those who do turn the ball over have to run sprints in practice. So not many sprints will be ran at today's practice for MSU men's basketball. Matt McQuaid had 1 turnover. Lou Rawls, Tum-Tum Naren Jr. had 1 turnover. Nick Ward had 2. Miles Bridges had 1, so Miles has to win at least 1 sprint for himself. And then you look at Jaren Jackson Jr., who had 2. But only a total of 7 turnovers. That is remarkable for Michigan State. Here's Tom Izzo on the 2 most important stats in his eyes.
I thought the most impressive 2 stats for us was to have 7 turnovers. Our guys are more fired up about that than almost the win. The other one that is kind of perfect for this team to start the Big Ten season off, and that's 30 assists out of 32 baskets. That kind of tells what kind of team I have. Most unselfish team around. So I was pleased with 90% of the game. I thought getting Josh Jackson off to a good start was big. Kenny Goins came in and played pretty good. You know, then Nick Ward did some great things, and Cassius, I thought, ran our team. But I thought, you know, a couple of things that don't show up in a box score. Miles had one of his more solid games, you know. He has 7 assists and 6 rebounds and just made plays, something that I haven't seen him do myself. His defense was a lot better, so I give him a lot of credit. Nick, we went to him at certain times, and I thought he really he did a pretty good job. We got a little lazy, all of our bigs on these step-ups, and that's why Collins kind of hurt us. It wasn't all Cassius's fault. And then the unsung hero might have been McQuaid the second half. He guarded Herter a lot. And, you know, the kid only had 2 points, but he's a hell of a player. And I like that team a lot, but I like mine a lot too. So,
I mean, how could you not, Tom, right? And, yeah, you heard him speak on Matt McQuaid being the unsung hero. He did play great defense on Kevin Herter and was able to slow Kevin down. Herter ended up finishing with 16 points, and he had 14 of those points in the first half. Very impressive defensive performance overall for this team as they locked down as the game went along, but very impressive performance from Matt McQuaid. Also want to highlight the moment that really was replayed over and over and over on social media. Xavier Tillman, who came in and gave Michigan State great minutes as well. X-Man is what many are calling him. He was 2 of 3 from the floor, had 6 points, 5 boards, and he had a dive on the floor heading to the Michigan State bench right in front of Tom Izzo that absolutely had Tom Izzo fired up, pumped up. As Xavier dove on the ground, he got up and Tom like slapped him around and pumped him up and said, yeah! He was going absolutely crazy. That was one of my favorite moments of last night. I mentioned Kenny Goins, though. He came in when Jaren Jackson Jr. got into early foul trouble, had 8 points. Here is Tom on the shooting of Kenny Goins as he knocked down 2 of 3 from deep.
You know, Kenny was really shooting well this summer. And then when he got hurt there with the ankle, then he came back, wasn't shooting as well. And I said, you spend more time in here, you can shoot threes, because I chewed him out for shooting a 3 a week ago. And so I think he just stuck it in my face, to be honest with you, and I enjoyed that.
Tom enjoyed that. I love that. He loves when his players prove him wrong, right? And I mentioned, you know, X-Man, Xavier Tillman, and his grit. But not only his gritty play, and not only his fundamentals and what he can do on the basketball court, but also Tom is very impressed with Xavier's muscle between the ears. Take a listen to this.
Before he's done, I've been really impressed with the intelligent part of his game. Like today, him and Jaren both, they got 2 freshmen that really understand the game. And so hopefully we can keep building on that.
Yeah, Xavier, he's a really smart player. Doesn't make many mistakes when he's out there. And when he's aggressive, he's something special to watch. I'm curious to see how his game matures as the season rolls along. Again, Michigan State will play Ohio State on the road this coming Sunday. That will be a 4:30 p.m. tip. The Buckeyes handled the Iowa Hawkeyes last night. And also, big props to all of the Izzone alumni members that made their way back to East Lansing last night and were sitting in that lower bowl and were so energetic. Ian Hawley, current sports engineer, you were down on the court shooting that game for us.
Yes, sir.
That had to be probably out of the games you've covered for us here at WKAR. Would you say that was the best atmosphere you've seen so far this year?
Oh, definitely. The fans were getting into it. Older and younger fans were on their feet the whole game. It basically looked like just another student section, but everyone was a little bit older, you know. Fans were jumping up and down, making noise, getting excited for the game camera or the Teletron camera. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, just another day at the office for the Izzone, really, if you think about it.
Well, you know,
just made up by some older fans, which was a nice change of pace in the holiday season here.
And Izzo, you know, Izzo made a point, you know, that I've always thought about, too. I mean, and I love the Izzone alumni game because these are cats who actually, you know, have been a part of the Izzone. They are alumni of the university now, and they know what it was like for them as students back in the day, you know, turning up and trying to root on the team. So they don't get to do that anymore because, hey, they're working 9-to-5 jobs. They don't get a chance to probably come back as often as they would like to. They're not at every single game because that's reserved for, you know, the primary student body, right? But when they get a chance to come back, they let loose like little kids, like they're back in college again. Here is Izzo on the Izzone alumni last night.
Well, those old Izzone people, you know, they're away now and they got to be home and going to work and, you know, and they don't get to get away. Most of them are probably married and they got that ball and chain around their ankle. And now they get some freedom. They get to be out there. They get to act like idiots again. The guys with the grass skirts, they were great. You know, the problem is with the Big Ten Network and Twitter and all the things, you know, some of these guys are going to have to explain to their kids how at 35, 40, 45, they look like such knuckleheads, you know what I mean? Doing things that you wouldn't really think that those kind of guys, but you got to love them for that. I mean, the shirts were great. You know, Mark Hollis, his group does such a good job with those kids, and I thought that was great. I thought, you know, I can't tell you what it means to me to have, you know, Mark D'Antonio there, Ken Manning, our strength coach, who he was more excited than I was when those guys were getting on the floor, you know, and I mean, that was important. I'm proud of our fans for the hand they gave Mark, deservingly so. And, you know, Susie wins last night, so we're just going to try to pull for hockey this weekend and us this weekend and keep it rolling.
Yes, and, you know, multiple sports, Michigan State sports in action this weekend, as Tom just mentioned. And, you know, Susie Merchant and the MSU women's basketball team coming off a win over Northwestern earlier this week. They will hit the road to play Minnesota this coming weekend. You can catch the Michigan State ice hockey team in action right here on campus at Mount Ice Arena as Danton Cole's squad will host Ohio State. That will be tonight at 7:05. You got the women's gymnastics team in action tonight as well. In East Lansing, they will take on Bowling Green. The wrestling team is also in action. That will be on the road at Iowa. So MSU sports will be in full effect starting tonight, folks. But yeah, shout out to the Izzone alumni because they were absolutely turned up last night. You guys were fantastic. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll take your calls, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And we will also talk about Harlan Barnett leaving as defensive coordinator for Michigan State and heading down south to Florida State to assume that same position with the Seminoles. Big loss for Michigan State football. We'll talk about it coming right back at you here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just wrapped up segment A discussing the Michigan State men's basketball win over Maryland last night. Ian Hawley, current sports engineer, didn't give you a chance to weigh in on the X's and O's of what you saw last night. For you, Ian, what were some of your biggest takeaways when evaluating that game last night?
My biggest takeaway was, We were looking, we talk constantly on the show about Miles Bridges and him not having the highlight performances that we may desire from him on a game-to-game basis. But Bridges, I mean, he had the best all-around game of the year from many perspectives. Like you say, his passing was crisp. He looked fantastic running the floor. 15 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, and 2 blocks, easy for me to say. A solid game for Miles Bridges. I think sometimes we harp on him a little too much. I mean, based on the player personnel around him, it's hard for him to just outshine everybody on a night-to-night basis when Cassius or Josh Langford might go off. A solid performance for Miles Bridges. That's my biggest takeaway. Good to see him finally getting those numbers and padding those stats a little bit.
And I'm sure, you know, and players know who's in attendance. And I heard that there were a few NBA scouts and personnel in the crowd. You know, he wanted to put on a show, and he certainly did that. And he showed his all-around game. But the thing about Miles is, and I can only imagine what it's like being in his position, right, and being that talented. But, you know, when you're that talented, but you also are surrounded by so many other talented players, and you're the number one team in the nation, I mean, you don't want to be selfish and do too much. And Miles is the total opposite of selfish. And, you know, the 7 assists, that was probably the most impressive part of Miles' game last night. But, yeah, you definitely nailed that, Ian. All right, let's go to line one right now. I know we got John from Holt who has been waiting patiently. John, how you doing, my man?
Hey, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fantastic, John. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to talk about the Orange Bowl. I had gone with my daughter. She had performed at halftime of the Orange Bowl with a dance company from Holt called Karen's Dance. And I just kind of wanted to talk a little bit about that experience.
Oh, that is great stuff, John. I know you called in not too long ago and you shared that story with me. Now, I definitely want you to call back and share that because it's not every day where, you know, a little one gets the chance to go to the Orange Bowl of all bowls and perform at halftime. I mean, how did they get the invite? What was that? How did that all come about for your daughter?
Well, I guess that the teacher was in contact with someone at this company called World Strides, her dance teacher, and they invited them actually to bring like 8 girls with them. So 8 girls and their parents went down to the Orange Bowl, stayed in Fort Lauderdale for 4 days, and then, like I said, performed with the singer Andy Grammer at halftime of the Orange Bowl.
That's great stuff, man. And Wisconsin, of course, beat Miami in that game.
Yeah, very exciting game. The Miami fans were great, man. I was tailgating with them before the game. I mean, they were very friendly, invited me over to their tailgate. We were had some great food and a couple beverages, and it was awesome, man. Great experience.
That's very cool stuff, John. And how long were you down there?
We stayed for 4 days.
4 days total. Okay, that's great stuff. Well, congratulations to your daughter. It had to be an incredible experience for her, right?
Yeah, and she was the youngest one in her group. She's 12 years old, so she's in 7th grade, and she's been dancing since she was like 6 years old, so she hopes to continue with that for several more years, obviously. But, yeah, it's an experience she'll never forget for sure.
Oh, well, so, I wish her continued success in the dancing realm, my man, and I think we all wish that we were down in South Florida right now when looking at this weather,
man,
right?
Oh, man, I know it was rough coming back, man. I almost tried to miss the plane on purpose.
Right, like, I forgot my flight was at 10 a.m., right? And just overslept.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, and I went to the state game last night. I wanted to comment on that as well.
Yeah, go ahead.
What a great performance by this team. I mean, they are so deep. When they're hitting on all cylinders, I don't see any team in the country that can compete with them, honestly. I mean, Duke can play with them, but I think State, if they played that way last night in the second half that they played against Duke, I think they would have took them out.
Yeah, and John, I really, you know, when I got back and I was editing my post-game report, I really looked at the game, and I'm looking at the stats, and I'm going through the footage, and I'm sitting there saying to myself, okay, if I was to be a Nancy negative here, and a negative Nancy, whatever you want to put it, and try and harp on something that, okay, Michigan State really needs to improve on based on what we saw last night in that win over Maryland, I don't know what I would point to. I mean, in every area of the court on both sides, they were solid in. A great, great game. And, you know, and after the game, you know, I was curious to see what Tom Izzo was going to harp on, you know, to really, yeah, hey, we need to improve on this. We need to improve on that, because that's how Tom usually is. But
absolutely,
you heard him, you know, in his post-game press conference, he couldn't really bring up anything. He was happy with, again, what he was quoted in saying, 90% of what he saw. He was happy with 90% of what he saw last night. So Michigan State can't play better than what they played last night.
You know, and it was very loud in there, I thought. And I think the alumni Izzo was even louder than the usual one, seemed like to me.
Without a doubt. I tell you what, when the students come back next week, they got to bring it, John. They got to
bring it,
man.
Big time.
Definitely. All right, John, thank you so much for the call, my man.
Hey, thanks so much for taking my call. You take care, man. Thank you.
You too. You too.
All right.
Bye. All right, if you want to call in just like my man John just did, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to address this now. Breaking news coming through the news wire this morning that Harlan Barnett, Michigan State defensive coordinator, is leaving East Lansing to become Florida State's defensive coordinator. That's according to multiple reports, both 247sports.com and reporter Bruce Feldman, both going on the record to say that Harlan Barnett will join Willie Taggart's staff with the Seminoles. Now, this now means that D'Antonio will be looking for, you know, two assistants to add to his staff. And this also means, and I tweeted this out upon hearing the news, that this is the second time in 3 years that Mark D'Antonio will now lose a defensive coordinator. As we all know, you know, Pat Narduzzi, he left to become the head coach at Pittsburgh. Now, what's interesting is when I started to hear these reports come through, you know, I said to myself, all right, Harlan Barnett is such a great coach. He's a great defensive coordinator. It was quite remarkable to evaluate what he was able to do this season with a relatively young defensive core, and to watch how Michigan State was really able to just stymie offenses from Saturday to Saturday. I mean, heck, we saw, you know, a Heisman Trophy candidate in Saquon Barkley, you know, put up pedestrian numbers due to, well, not just the weather, but that great Michigan State defense swarming around the field. We saw players, you know, like a Joe Bocci, like a Chris Fry, really step up. We saw the defensive line able to get pressure on quarterbacks week to week. Harlan Barnett has done a remarkable job for Michigan State. So when I saw the report come through that Harlan Barnett was in the midst of talks with Florida State, I said to myself, Michigan State has to do whatever it takes to keep him. Barnett, he has ties to Michigan State, of course, because he played defensive back for the Spartans back in the late 80s, from 1986 to 89. He has been a part of Coach D's staff since 2004 at Cincinnati. He returned to Michigan State with Coach D in 2007 as secondary coach and received a promotion to co-defensive coordinator along with Jim Tressel. That's when Pat Narduzzi left to become the head coach at Pitt back in 2014. But the biggest thing in here, you know, the biggest component of this conversation is the moolah. It's all about the Benjamins at the end of the day. And according to a USA Today database of coaches' salary, Barnett ranked 137th among assistant coaches in the football bowl subdivision this season. He was making $452,570, while his fellow co-coordinator Tressel made $450,370. Now, making this move to go to Florida State, right now, Harlan Barnett is going to make somewhere close to $1 million per year. It's being reported that this will be a 3-year deal. And I said to myself, okay, if you know, Harlan Barnett is such a staple to this Michigan State football coaching staff, and when you look at the success he's had as defensive coordinator, because, you know, Barnett is the guy, you know, after every game, you know, they'll bring out members of the coaching staff, members, you know, who are co-defensive coordinators, members who are, you know, co-offensive coordinators. But the guys who you see on a regular basis are always Harlan Barnett and Dave Warner. Those are the two leaders when it comes to being the man as the defensive coordinator and the man when it comes to being the offensive coordinator. The co-titles for me, I don't like the co-titles because at the end of the day, we all know that there's one guy doing most of the work. And Harlan Barnett was that guy. And he did a great job in doing it. But why didn't Michigan State, why wouldn't Michigan State try and match that deal? Because at FSU, he's going to be getting paid, you know, somewhere over $800,000. Why not pony up, play the game, and give the man the moolah that he deserves if you really wanted him to stay with the coaching staff? Because $400,000 in comparison to some of the upper echelon defensive coordinators in the nation, that's nothing. That's cheese and crackers, man. So
I'm curious, you know, as the days go along here, you know, we'll know more about whether or not Michigan State, or we may not, who knows, maybe they want to keep that in-house. But I'm curious whether or not Michigan State tried to match the offer. Because if they didn't, this is a big loss. It really is. And if you want to play the game, you got to pay the money. I mean, heck, look at what, you know, the school down the road is doing out in Ann Arbor. One of the highest paid assistant coaching staffs in all of college football. Michigan's not afraid to spend the money if they feel like that individual is going to produce success for that football team on a gridiron. So I'm curious, if Michigan State saw what was unfolding here with Harlan Barnett and saw the money that was being offered to Harlan Barnett and said, no, we can't pay you that much. See ya. Thanks for what you have done for our program, but we're not going to pony up and spend that kind of money on you. If they didn't, I think that's a shame. I think that's a shame. I have no doubt that Harlan Barnett is going to do a fantastic job at Florida State. It's been a pleasure getting to know Harlan. He's one of those guys who's filled with energy. He always gives you a great quote. And I think Harlan has the potential to be a head coach at some point in his career. I think he will be a head coach at some point in his career. I love the guy. I love his personality. You know, he's one of those guys who's just filled with energy and passion. And this is a great stepping stone for him. Going down now to Florida State, which is a pretty sexy program in the world of college sports, let alone college football, right? And this is going to really pay off for him down near. So now Michigan State will ensue the coaching search to try and, you know, pad the loss of Harlan Barnett. That's going to be a really tough one, but we assume that, you know, Jim Tressel will probably become the defensive coordinator for Michigan State now. Mike Tressel. I keep saying Jim Tressel. Mike Tressel will assume that duty, right? So, big loss for Michigan State. I'm wishing Harlan Barnett well. As far as the coaching staff is concerned, I think Mike will assume that role as the guy. But, again, well, looking at the logistics of it, if they did not try and keep Harlan Barnett here by upping his salary, I do believe that's a shame. I really do believe that. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. We have just about 7 minutes left in the hour. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports with a brief NFL wild card preview, and we will have Reflection Friday for you. That and more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. You just heard my thoughts on Harlan Barnett leaving Michigan State to become the new defensive coordinator at Florida State. Ian Hawley, how big of a loss is this for Mark D'Antonio's coaching staff?
I think it's not a terrible loss. It's not a season-ending loss, per se.
Well, I don't think it's a season-ending loss, but, you know,
yeah, Michigan State will be fine with Mike Tressel at the reins for the defensive coordinator's sole position, if that's the route they choose to go. I'm not too worried about it.
This doesn't flip your wig a little bit, huh? I was shocked. I must say that. I think Harlan Barnett, you know, you just heard my thoughts. I mean, Harlan Barnett was such a great orchestrator of that defense. He learned a lot, you know, while Pat Narduzzi was here as well.
Yeah, it's a sad loss for sure, but it's not a terrible loss. It's, we can bounce back from this.
At some point, though, you know, $400,000 in comparison to some of the other programs out there,
again, if you want to compete and you want to keep good people, and I must say this, though, as well, in saying that statement, you know, if you want good people, you got to pay to keep them, right? Mark D'Antonio has been able to keep the majority of his coaching staff intact throughout his time here at Michigan State. He's done that and done a great job. And again, I think this is a great career move for Harlan Barnett. But if you wanted him, and again, we don't know the logistics of it, but if you really wanted him, you had to have offered him at least something close to what Florida State was. That's all. That's the point I want to make here.
Well, maybe it'll put a little bit of an impetus on fans, especially my age, you know, students, to go buy tickets.
Yeah, possibly. Well, only time will tell with that. But Harlan Barnett, again, going down to Florida State as the new defensive coordinator down there. That's the big news coming out of the camp of Michigan State sports today. All right, we have just under 2 minutes. We love to close out each and every Current Sports Friday version with a segment we call Reflection Friday, as we reflect on the week that has been here on Current Sports, bringing you some of our favorite moments and maybe highlight a few stories that we did not get a chance to do so. Here we go. All right, for me, Ian, you know, it was a short week for us, and, you know, we resumed play here on Current Sports on Wednesday, so we had three shows this week, three great ones, and, you know, there was so much, you know, that's happened in this short span of time, but I must say, my highlight has to be last night's coverage. Watching that Michigan State basketball game was pretty fun. Also, probably the Tom Izzo wax figures, that's been getting a lot of play in the local media here as well. And also, man, I'm curious, who do you got, you know, with the NFL playoffs starting, you know, wild card game starting tomorrow, Tennessee and Kansas City at 4:20, and then after that, Atlanta and the L.A. Rams, and then on Sunday, Buffalo and Jacksonville, and then Carolina and New Orleans. Who are you going with to win the whole thing with 20 seconds left here?
I wish it was Buffalo, but probably not this year. I'd say, I don't know, man, Kansas City looks good. Okay. Atlanta's looked good too.
All right, yeah. I'm going with the Patriots. We'll see you Monday, folks. Be easy, people.